from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. I turned on the wrong pot. Sorry there, guys. Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Good fade. Here we go. I'm going to try this again. Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will hang out with you until 4, but literally hang out with you. They're going to be out at Sky River Casino for a live show, noon to 4. Head out there. There's going to be food. There's going to be drinks at 32 Brewer Street, so you can order food and drinks. You don't have to order food and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be available if you would like. I definitely recommend doing so. It is going to be the best place in Sacramento to watch the game. No idea whether people are going to stick around and watch the game there. I would. They have TVs like everywhere you're sitting. There are, bless you, everywhere you sit, there's a good view of a TV. So if you do want to watch the game out there, it's a good spot for it. I'm sure it'll be freaking packed.
Yep.
And then come enjoy the live show beforehand, noon to 4. That's where D'Lo and KC will be.
Sounds good.
It's going to be great. And then at 4, a reminder, we have NBA play in action tonight right here on ESPN 1320. Bulls at Heat. Who do you think's going to win that one? George Karl is picking the Bulls.
Man, I'd hate to go against George Karl since he also picked the Kings.
Dude, spoiler on the bit.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. I'm going to say, man, I just never bet against the Heat. But they're lacking Jimmy Butler. But that never does seem to matter either.
The Bulls are 2.5-point dogs, and that terrifies me because that feels like bait.
Yeah.
That feels like a line where somebody's going to go, no, Jimmy, but give me the Bulls, and I get points. Give me the Bulls. I'll get the Bulls.
Yeah.
Kobe White just had 42. Yeah. And then the Heat go out and win by 20. Yeah. But that said, I'm picking the Bulls.
Okay.
Despite Vegas trapping me into taking them.
You're high on the Bulls.
I am, dude. I think the Bulls got some dogs.
Okay.
I don't think that they are... I think the Bulls have the opposite problem that the Kings had last year.
Okay.
Where I think the Kings had and still have, but last year specifically, had a ton of really, really talented players. Their mindset was missing a little bit, though. They were missing some of the dog. The Bulls, I think, are missing some of the talented players, but they got a bunch of dogs. Like, okay. Kobe White has improved a lot.
Yeah.
And DeMar DeRozan is as deadly in the mid-range as anybody.
Ever.
But, yeah. And Zach LaVine is fine as a scorer. But what they are right now without Zach LaVine, it's if DeMar DeRozan's shot's not falling... Kobe White is a good player, but after that, it's like, man, Ayo Dosunmu, he's fine, but he's a dog, man.
Yeah,
they just kind of get after it, and I appreciate their grittiness. despite the fact that sometimes watching them feels like watching paint dry.
Oh no, it can be ugly and like filthy to watch. It's not a like a beautiful brand of basketball. No. So I definitely think that like that's kind of the Heat style as well though. They like to muck things up. They like to make it ugly, and you know, they've got a bunch of like those gritty dudes.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, the dogs you talk about.
Yeah.
That's why I never want to bet against them, because let's be honest, over the course of time, the Heat just find a way. Eric Spoelstra to me is...
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, he is one of the best coaches in the NBA, if not the best.
I think to me, he's top of my list.
Yeah, he's way up there.
So good.
Yeah, so... And also, like, their development department is just incredible. The way that they bring along players, or they find players that like didn't work somewhere else, or they find guys that were, you know, like second round picks or undrafted guys, and then they mm-hmm. bring them through sort of their whole system.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, they're like extremely like well-rounded players. They can like multi-positional players, guys who are tough, you know, Caleb Martin, mm-hmm. you know, well, the Martin twins.
Yeah.
Like that type of player. Like, they always have, like, a stack of players that I think would look really good in Sacramento.
I think he does a really good job of the Bill Belichick model of scouting. Don't tell me what the guy can't do. Tell me what he can do.
Yep.
And then we're going to make sure that he's doing those things on the field. I feel like Eric Spoelstra does the same thing.
Yeah.
Duncan Robinson shoots the hell out of the ball. All right, that's what he's going to do here. We're not going to try. I think they might have overpaid him a little bit. But we're not going to try and turn him into a
They've
ball
done that
handler.
A few times.
We're not trying to make him a creator. He's just going to shoot the heck out of the ball.
Yeah, and I would say, like, too, when it comes to, like, the Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox point of view, they are very much a, especially in the draft, they know what they know about a player, and they will trust what they know about a player.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything else that they get after that is just bonus, but they're going after what they know. And, you know, like if you're going to look at Davion Mitchell isn't as good as he was in college, as because, you know, in college you have just more opportunity
mm-hmm.
as one of the top dogs and as a, you know, seventh guy off the bench.
Yeah.
But they know who he is and they know what he brings. They know that like the defense is going to be there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this other stuff you're hoping you can develop and bring along. But as long as they know what they know, and same thing with Keegan Murray, same thing with Tyrese Halliburton, like they do a really good job of looking at players and saying, okay, part of it is they draft older players
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah.
The only young player they ever drafted was Jamias Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was much older. But everyone else that they draft, you can really just say, hey, look, they have a type, and that type is a player that doesn't have a, might not have the highest ceiling, but it also doesn't have a low floor.
Yeah.
And they're guys that you know that you're going to get value out of that can actually play.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have like three or four things that they're going to be good at, and you can put them out there and have them do those things.
Mm-hmm. Super important.
Yeah.
Really, turns out having good players is a key tenet of roster building.
Yeah.
No, I think, yeah, there's a tendency, I think, from front offices and in every sport, by the way, this is not a basketball specific thing, to get enamored with ceiling, to like, we can fix him kind of thing. This guy's super talented. He runs a 4.3140 and he jumps out of the building and he's 6'3". I'm talking about DK Metcalf. So DK Metcalf happens.
Yeah.
That's a bad example. I'm sorry. DK Metcalf's good. Like Kevin White from West Virginia. I think he went 5th overall to the Bears and just never did anything in the NFL.
Yeah.
And because teams went, man, look at his testing numbers. He is so fast. He jumps out of the building. Look at all that. He was good in college. He put up numbers in college.
Okay, so I think in the NFL...
The floor was also very low.
Yes. So the NFL, I think they get lost in the combine. They get lost in the combine, and they also get lost because there's so many players,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's 50, 60, 70 players in every college team. There's so many people to choose from. I think at the NBA, there's this weird default setting that players, that the GMs have. They look at a player and they go, hey, look, length, athleticism, leaping ability. You know, they look at their three-point shot. If their three-point shot isn't good, they look mm-hmm. at their free throw shot and say, yeah. Oh, okay, so the stroke. So I think with the NBA, they get so caught up in this, like, well, if I can't make him, if he doesn't develop into this, I can still make him into this.
Oh, interesting.
And that's always wrong. It's always wrong. And it's like, like, I think the classic is like Dante Green, like 6'10", long, super athletic. Mm-hmm. And you thought, okay, he could be a star. He could be Rashard Lewis. Yes. Rashard. There we go. Rashard Lewis.
Not Rashard McCants.
No. But you kept thinking, okay, he could be Rashard Lewis.
Yeah.
But if he's not, we might be able to make him into a Bruce Bowen. And that's just not the case, because NBA players, they come into the league and they think that they're going to be the next Michael Jordan or the next T-Mac. Mm-hmm. And like, the best players are the ones that don't come in with that idea.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not the I'm a one of one guy. It's the guy who's like, oh no, I'm just going to mm-hmm. do my best to fit in. And if I can get better and better and better, then I'll get more opportunity type guys.
Mm-hmm.
But
Austin Rivers says this on his podcast all the time. He says, learn your role, change your life.
Okay.
Learn your role, change your life. And that goes exactly to what you're talking about. If you come into the league going, hey, I am going to be the next Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I am the best player in the league. Who was it, Benedict Mathurin, that said, like, I'm better than LeBron until I face LeBron?
Oh, that's possible.
I think it was Benedict Mathurin who said that. But basically saying, like, I believe I'm better than LeBron until he shows me he's better than me.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It's crazy. Well, but I think that's a mindset a lot of guys kind of have coming in, versus when you draft players like the Kings do, who are older, who maybe weren't the best player on their college team. Hey, Keon Ellison had a good college career, and he was all defense player. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets into a situation where, like, yeah, hey, he wasn't a lottery pick. He had to come up through the mud as an undrafted player. He had to spend time in the G League. He had to spend time on a two-way where he's sitting on a NBA bench and watching the game but not getting to check in and play.
Yep.
And you figure out how to get in by learning what your role is. What does this team need? Oh, they need a dog on defense? I can do that. They need a guy who can knock down some threes? I'm going to work on that. I'm going to start doing that. And that is just so much more valuable than having a roster full of dudes. Shout out to the Pistons. A roster full of dudes who all think, like, oh, hey, I'm the star on this team. I'm the 1A.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can need a 1A for sure. But even if you have five 1As, one of those 1As needs to be a 1B. One needs to be a 1C. There needs to be some kind of pecking order.
I totally agree. We should just continue this discussion.
Yeah.
After the break.
Yeah, I don't even know how we got there. We were talking about the Heat, the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but the Bulls tonight. There's a way, like, I look at this, and we can hit that after the break.
Okay, great. We'll continue talking about this moving forward. We'll have keys to a Kings victory for you as well. And can they sustain what they did Tuesday night against the Warriors? We'll talk about it all next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
About 7 hours? A little over 7 hours until tip-off? Kings Pelicans tonight?
Yeah.
Smoothie King Center? Smoothie King Arena?
Smoothie King, I think it is Smoothie King Arena.
Smoothie King Arena, that definitely feels right. Hey, let's give away some money before we keep talking about this Kings Pelicans matchup tonight. This is part of the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway that has been going on all week. It will continue into next week as well. We are going to give you $500. Or you can enter to win $500
mm-hmm.
by entering a keyword that we are going to give you momentarily. But first, let us announce yesterday's winner of the $500. The Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. Winner for Thursday was Michael from Clovis. Congratulations to Michael from Clovis. He is $500 richer. Thanks to us. Shout out to D'Lo and Casey.
Now we have a huge reach to get all the way to Clovis.
Yeah. So thanks to Michael for listening. Hey, we got our guy Jay pulled up from like San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah.
Pulled up for our watch party and then went to the Kings Jazz game at the end of the year.
Yep.
Kelton, I believe.
Yeah.
His kid. Yeah, great family. Shout out to them.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, shout out to them. We got some reach, bro. And I got my buddy Sean listens in D.C. or Arlington or wherever he is. He's somewhere on the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Clovis is all nationwide.
That's Fresno.
So I have a funny story about Clovis, real quick, and then we'll talk basketball, I promise. And then, I have a Clovis story. We'll put a pin in. Today's key word for the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway is hoop. Hoop. Basketball, hoop. Hula, hoop. I'm not spelling it. You don't get me to spell it. But the key word for today is hoop. You enter that at ESPN1320.com. And you will be entered for a chance to win $500. D'Lo and KC will also be giving you a keyword later on. You can enter that. That means two entries.
Two entries.
Chances to win. They don't just see your name and go, oh, cool, they entered two words. Like, no, they'll see your name twice.
The password is drawing. Hoop.
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 Not spelling it. If you need, Google it. Hoop. It's four letters, I'll tell you that much.
There it is.
It starts with an H, ends in a P, and there's two O's in the middle. That's all I'm giving you.
That's all you're saying. You're not saying anymore.
Love the idea of somebody listening and being like, I got nothing.
I don't know how.
Is that poo? Like Winnie? Funny story about Clovis real quick.
Okay.
So we're at the Borough Market in London, which is this huge, like, it's farmer's market ostensibly, but there's like stalls with food trucks and not food trucks, but...
vendors.
Food stalls. Vendors. Yeah. Thank you. Vendors. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, just like a talk for a living. So it's this huge market. Well, as we were making our way through this market, we found this little clearing where there wasn't a lot going on because it wasn't food vendors. It was like shops. So there was like a spice shop that was nutty. There was this cheese shop, a cheesemonger there was crazy. We found this tea shop. It's called TTU. T, the number 2, and then U, Y-O-U.
Okay.
And so I wanted to get my grandmother some tea, and my wife drinks tea, so she wanted to get some. And I'm talking to the lady, and we're going, wow, this is really cool. It's like you tell them what you want and they bag it for you back there. They like measure it out. It's a whole thing, right? Like loose leaf tea. And we're like, this is really cool. Thanks so much, you know, for helping us out. And the lady goes, oh, where are you guys from? It sounds like you're not from here. And we're like, oh yeah, we're from San Francisco. When we're gone, that's just what we say.
Okay.
We're just San Francisco. That's ish, right? And the lady goes, oh, you're in the Bay Area. And we're like, yeah, good knowledge. And she goes, we're opening a shop near San Francisco.
Oh?
And I went, oh, awesome. Where? And she goes, Clovis.
Well, that's not near San Francisco.
That is not close. Like, oh my God.
But you don't live close to San Francisco either.
I'm close enough. Like I'm 50 miles or whatever it is east. But that is like a 2+ hour drive.
Yeah, that seems like a
way down there.
Strange place to open a tea shop.
So, I don't know their business. I don't know them.
Okay.
But I kind of wonder if they were like, "Hey, we want to open a shop. Where can we do it for cheap but close to San Francisco?" And they just kind of kept going out and out and out, and Clovis was like the place.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe they have family there. I don't know. But it was really jarring when she said, oh yeah, close to San Francisco. And I'm like, oh, Marin, San Rafael, San Jose, like maybe it's the South Bay, Walnut Creek, maybe randomly.
Yeah.
Oakland. No. Clovis. Like, oh my God.
Right before my junior year in high school, our superstar head coach at Nevada Union left and went to Clovis West High School. He was supposed to, I was, you know, freshman year and then JV and then where I was going up to varsity and the coach left right before that and went to Clovis West.
Oh, that was they tied were De La Salle?
Yeah, they were really, really good.
They tied or beat, because De La's streak got snapped by Bellevue in Washington.
Okay.
And then I think that same year they either lost to Clovis West or tied them.
Mm. I don't think he's still there, but...
It was the first time they had not beaten a California team in God knows how long. But anyways, team building.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the way that you were like sort of weird trying to describe this, right? Is that most young players, they come into the NBA and like if you look at a chessboard, they like want to be the king or the queen. Like that's who they want to be, a 1A or a 1B, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what most of them don't realize is that they're pawns, and then maybe a couple of them are rooks, and maybe one of them or two of them is a knight or a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, Like, of the 60 guys who are being drafted, 52 of them are probably pawns.
Yes. Yes.
And that means that you're replaceable. That means that you get put out in front. Like, you're a blocker.
And a lot of success, and a lot of the success that those guys have.
Yeah.
And this comes, I mean, you can look at just this Kings-Pelicans game. Keon Ellis, I think, fits this bill.
Yeah.
I think Keegan Murray, to a lesser extent, fits this a little bit. Understanding that this was a De'Aaron Fox Domas show, and then he was going to slide into it.
Yeah.
Instead
And again, he can be a bishop. He can be a knight.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. But learning where he fits in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Pelicans have a ton of guys. Jose Alvarado,
Herb
Jones, Trey Murphy. We just basically every guy on that team has kind of come in as this. But I think the faster you learn that and the quicker you come to grips with, oh, this is the role that best suits me, I think that's where that separates, I think, a lot of guys from success and not having success.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I think like when you come into the league, you need to figure out you got like 3 or 4 months to be who you think you can be. And if you start to show that and a team goes, okay, they gravitate towards you and you can understand what a team thinks of you by like who the assistants, what ranking assistant they yeah. put with you, right? Yeah. And if you're like, again, playing a bunch of 4-on-4 or like 3-on-3 basketball with development staff after practice and stuff, that typically means not that they don't believe in you at all, but that you're not there yet and that you need to be a pawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can work your way up to being a knight or a bishop, that's fine. But you're a long way from being a rook, or you're a long way from being one of the top dogs. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can keep that understanding and just play to your strengths, be who you are and keep getting better at the things that you do. Mm-hmm. And then whatever the team wants you to get better at, you can start peppering that in.
Yep.
Then just stay in your lane. You have a chance for success. But so many guys, they've always been the best player in every team they've ever played on.
Yeah.
You know, they've been the superstar of their AAU team that may or may not have won massive tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've always been the guy.
If Keon Ellis walked into this year going, I'm either starting at point guard or I'm done.
Yeah.
He's not playing right now.
Or I need 12 shots a game.
Right. He's not playing right now.
You know, year 7, year 8, I heard Jason Thompson. You know, I'm just waiting for that moment where I get like 12 shots a game. It's like, bro.
Dog.
That moment is not coming even when you play in Turkey.
Everybody wants it. Like, no doubt. But
yeah.
Sometimes you just got to know.
No. They didn't give you that. That's... At Fenerbahce, you didn't get 12 shots a game. So what are we doing here?
That's
like,
crazy.
Understand who you are, and that's such a tough thing, especially for bad teams, for a team with a bunch of young players. It's such a hard thing to understand.
Yeah, we got one more break to hit, and then we'll take you right up to noon, where we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, who are doing a live show out at Sky River Casino from noon to 4. Come see us. We'll be out there. I'll be out there. James won't. James has to work. I'll be out there with D'Lo and KC. It should be a great time. Hope to see everybody there. We got one more segment coming up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No surprise the show flies by on a day like this. Huge game tonight for the Kings. They are in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans. The Pelicans have been a dagger in the Kings' side all season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings are getting it out tonight. The vibes are high, man.
Vibes are high, man. I totally agree with the vibes being high.
Now, the more we have kind of gone through and we continue talking about how many players the Pelicans have who could theoretically go beat the Kings, is my worry meter up a little? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like where the Kings got a huge win the final game of the season, looked really good doing it against a terrible team that wasn't trying to win. And then the way they looked against the Warriors versus the Pelicans, who get stomped by the Lakers in the final game of the season in a game they needed to win to avoid the play-in, and then lose to that same Lakers team where they were down a bunch and then needed Zion Williamson to drag them back into the game with 40 points. And then he gets hurt.
Mm.
And I just think psychologically, they're looking and going, man, like, this is just not our year. It's happening again. Zion's hurt again. Brandon Ingram was hurt. He's not right. Ugh. The vibes are down. Vibes are up in Sacramento. That's where I'm landing. I wish I had better analysis than that.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with you on that point right there. I totally agree that the vibes should be down with the Pelicans. The Pelicans were the sixth seed and then blew a game that they shouldn't have blown to drop to the seventh seed and then lost another game to drop to the second play-in game.
Mm.
Like, they're on a very weird downward trajectory out of nowhere, like a tailspin.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you throw in, again, the Zion injury. I also think that there's a psychological, like, hit here that this team specifically has to deal with. Is that they know that what you just said, that Brandon Ingram doesn't look like himself, and that Zion is done. Like, the only way they get Zion back is if they make the, like, second or third round of the playoffs. And they now know they're not going to do that. And, you know, I know everyone in Sacramento wants to talk about just how big of a blow it is to not have Malik Monk. Well, you've had 3 weeks to figure out how to get around the fact you don't have Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that. They just lost their most impactful, I don't know if he's their best player, but their most impactful player. Because the way that you have to defend that team when Zion is on the court is so much different than when he's not.
And that's, I think, part of the reason that's such a big blow for them. Is because Malik Monk goes down. Major blow for the Kings, for sure.
Yeah, huge.
For sure.
Yeah.
But you can look at the roster and you can go, well, De'Aaron Fox is already the dude. Domantas Sabonis is an all-NBA center. Keegan Murray was a top 5 draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
and is expected to take this step forward. So you can see, hey, you know what? The pieces are still there. With the Pelicans, maybe Zion for the full season was or wasn't their best player, but he was certainly developing into that.
Yeah.
He had been really, really excellent for them down the stretch, where they're looking at it and going, all right, hey, this is all the plan is coming together. Zion Williamson is supposed to be that dude, and hey, look, he's becoming that dude. And then they lose him. And now it's like, oh, there's no contingency plan for this.
Well, not only is there no contingency, there's no time for a contingency plan.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he's gone, and 2 days later, you're playing another elimination game,
mm-hmm.
and you got to figure out how to manage that. Yeah. And other teams out there, they've seen you without him before, and you mm-hmm. played without him before,
mm-hmm.
but you've also played when the other times that you normally don't have him, Brandon Ingram is this force that, like, he's not equal to or greater than, but he's still a very tough player to defend.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, my thing with when it comes to Zion, it's not just that he's a guy who averages 23-6 and 4 assists or 5 assists, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just that. It's that the way he does it
yes.
is so forceful and so dominant that you have to shrink your entire defense mm-hmm. to try to slow him. Mm-hmm. And if not, he's going to go for 40 every time.
Yep.
And once you shrink that defense, now Dyson Daniels gets wide open looks. Trey Murphy gets wide open looks. Herb Jones, wide mm-hmm. open looks. And then on top of that, you've got, you know, a guy like CJ McCollum who has an ability to create shots in a different way. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they're done, because
they're definitely not.
Yeah, because I don't believe that, like, I think that they can overcome. But I also think that there is something in the back of their mind. They're dealing with something right now that's like, hey, we don't just have to battle the Kings, but on Sunday, we don't have Zion, and we're not going to have Zion that entire series, mm-hmm. guaranteed almost.
Mm-hmm.
He's shot. Like, we don't have him. And where the Kings are like, man, if we can extend this thing,
sure,
the longer we go,
mm-hmm.
the closer we get to having Malik back. Mm-hmm. And they've already shrunk down to a 7.5-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
They've already got their guys. They know who they're going to be. And, like, look at what Mike Brown did the last 2 weeks of the season. He had that core group of guys, those 6, 7, 8 guys playing in on the second night of back-to-backs multiple times, playing 40-plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we're going for it right now. We're showing this is who we're going to be
mm-hmm.
in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this Pelicans team is dealing with. They're now dealing with, like, oh, boy. Like, how do we look different? How do we change who we are?
And the Kings are learning, and this is another reason I'm confident in tonight. If this was the version of the Kings we saw early in the season, where their defense is, yeah, they'll have a couple minute stretch here and there, but for the most part, you can't rely on them to get stops. And man, if their three isn't falling, then I don't know what they've got offensively. This team has pitches now.
Yeah.
This team has different things it can throw at a team. When their three's not falling right, they're going to lock it up on defense. D'Lo and Casey were talking about this yesterday, that they now have guys that like to play defense.
Oh, yeah.
That enjoy getting deflections and enjoy picking pockets and enjoy getting out on the break because they just got a steal or forced a turnover and now they're getting it inbounds real quick and going. I think they enjoy that. Whereas that wasn't the case earlier in the season. So now you're looking at a version of the Kings that is better at getting stops, just top to bottom, just flat out. They're playing better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you're looking offensively and going, God, they've suffered on that end big time. Like, points have been harder to come by, but that's the league right now.
Yeah.
You still on the brightest stage, you still had Keegan having arguably his best game of the year, maybe second best game of the year. You still had De'Aaron Fox looking like a superstar. You still had Domantas Sabonis doing what he does night in and night out. You got contributions from Keon Ellis on both ends of the floor. You eventually got contributions from Harrison Barnes
mm-hmm.
down the stretch. Like, this is a team that has just different ways that they can build a lead, maintain a lead, extend a lead, where there's not that uncertainty going into this game. The uncertainty is, hey, haven't been able to put it together against this team yet this year. Can we do it tonight? Versus the uncertainty you just talked about with New Orleans, where the vibe is like, man, Zion was our best dude and we just lost him, and B.I. isn't right, and Jose Alvarado, not on the injury report, by the way, Zion Williamson out, if you hadn't heard, Zion Williamson not playing tonight.
I've heard that.
He's out. That's the only player on their injury report. But even if Jose Alvarado, who rolled both ankles, rolled the left ankle twice, I don't know, but he's dealing with some ankle stuff, not on the injury report, but if he's compromised at all, it's not like they have a super deep bench. I
don't know. They have
They rally around it. Maybe they rally around it. Maybe they look internally and go, hey, we've done this without Zion before. This is a team. We know how to beat them. We know what we need to do. Let's lock in and go do it. Maybe that's how they're looking at this. I have a hard time getting there myself.
Okay, so my rebuttal would be this. Everything you just talked about, where all of a sudden the Kings have these players that want to play defense, that are focused, that are, the Pelicans have them too. The guys that want steals, that's Alvarado. The guys who love, cherish playing defense, that's Herb Jones. Like, they also have those guys. And so that's where I have this, like, I don't know. I don't know how this thing is going to, if they can, again, if Brandon Ingram isn't a faucet and you can turn off the faucet that is CJ McCollum and Trey Murphy, you're going to win this game. But like, I'll make that prediction. Yeah. If Brandon Ingram isn't who Brandon Ingram
is, their
best
players,
you,
if their best players have bad games,
but no, but if you can, if you can slow down McCollum, like what they did again, you're not expecting Trey Murphy to pull a Klay Thompson and go 0-for-10. But sure, if you can get CJ McCollum to be who Steph Curry was, where yeah, he scored 24 points or 22 points, but 8-of-14, where you just limited who he was, man, you got a really good shot. Because I don't think they have great depth. They don't have great depth at scores. They have length, they have athleticism, they've got guys that know roles and all that stuff, but what they don't have is that other guy who's gonna go, okay, you know, yeah, Herb Jones can hit you for 20. Yeah, he can, but I don't expect Herb to go for 30. And if he does, like, all hell broke loose.
Yeah, right. And both teams are looking at it that way. Both teams are going, hey, if this guy who typically doesn't get 30 gets 30, then, hey, but that's not something I'm, like, worried about.
No.
That's not something that I go into the game going, oh, hey, because that's an outlier performance. That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
The likelihood that Jose Alvarado goes for 30 is about the same or less than the likelihood that Keon Ellis goes for 30.
Yeah.
That's not my concern.
No.
My concern is what Brandon Ingram is going to do, or what CJ McCollum or Jonas Valanciunas or like those guys. If there's an outlier performance, there's going to be an outlier performance. And we'll pull up on Monday and be like, hey, they held CJ McCollum in check. They did a great job there. Just Dyson Daniels knocked down a bunch of shots.
Mm-hmm. I think like you have these little matchups in this game that could actually work to your favor. I think Davion Mitchell and Alvarado is a fun matchup, mm-hmm. right? And I think that Keon Ellis against McCollum is a fun matchup. I don't think that, you know, the Pelicans can match up a little bit against Fox, but Fox has shown that he can get through it. Herb Jones can defend De'Aaron Fox. He can make life difficult. Mm-hmm. Dyson Daniels at least tries to do a solid job. But, you know, this is where I think with the Kings, we're walking into this game knowing that you can write and pin probably 25 to 30 points from De'Aaron Fox and close to 20 points from Domantas Sabonis and, you know, probably 12 to 15 from Keegan Murray. And probably I would pin in 10 points from Keon Ellis with possibility for more. Mm-hmm. And same thing for Harrison Barnes. Once you get past their top guys, like, what are you getting? We don't know what they can, you know, again, consistently, you don't see what Herb Jones gets you on a nightly basis. Against the Kings, he scored 9 points. He scored 20. He scored like 12. Like, it's all over the board. CJ McCollum is a guy that I would pen in tonight for 25 to 30 points. Mm. I think he can come close to matching De'Aaron Fox. And so how do you get the, and can you slow Trey Murphy? And that, you know, like, look, I think they got a shot here, man. I'm not trying to be like negative. I just like to keep it real and
no, you know, no doubt. Yeah. And that's what, like I said, optimism is not, hey, I'm going to go put my life savings on the Kings.
Yeah.
Because all year I've said it after big wins. Like, I'm not going to be bamboozled.
Yep.
I'm not. This
I
team
won't
won,
be fooled again.
Yeah. They won 46 games. They were good. They were fine. The Pelicans weren't significantly better. They were a little better record wise.
They won 49, and if they didn't whoop up on the Kings five times,
if they
would have split that series,
then this looks a little different. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not of the mind that, oh, this is just a matchup that the Kings cannot overcome, that they cannot figure out. They just do not have the pieces in place to beat this Pelicans team, as long as the Pelicans play a B-minus game. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that at all. So that's kind of where I land. Let's get to keys to victory and kind of flesh out some of this stuff that we're talking about. James Hamm, your first key to victory for the Sacramento Kings tonight.
See, now you put me on the spot because we don't have printouts today, so I've got
that's
to
fine.
Find my
just
keys.
Just have a tab open.
I found it. I have a lot of tabs open.
Same.
I'm a gigantic, like, open tab guy. Let's see. Kitchen sink. That's my first key to victory. Throw the kitchen sink. Our first two are pretty much the same. Throw the kitchen sink at CJ McCollum. Treat CJ McCollum like you treated Steph Curry.
That's it. That's literally my first key. Verbatim. Don't let CJ McCollum turn into Steph Curry. And,
oh, you do have that.
Yeah. Don't let CJ McCollum turn into Steph Curry. And you do that by turning him into Steph Curry.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Treat him like you would Steph Curry.
Yes. Yeah, follow him around.
Pick him up at half court. Don't let some, like.
That was one of the things that the Kings did the other night to Steph that they need to do to McCollum. When he is off the ball, you stick with him. If he's going to pass the ball to the right wing and then walk to the left corner, you're following him there.
Mm-hmm.
If he then tries to go baseline, you're following him there. You might have to fight through a couple of screens to do it, but just whoever is guarding CJ McCollum just doesn't leave him.
Now, you said something in the build-up to the game the other day that I thought was really interesting. It's that Steph Curry, the first time he plays somebody, mm-hmm. he's not familiar with defensively. Mm-hmm. That's a good defender. Mm-hmm. He usually struggles a bit. That's the one advantage that CJ has, that he has played more games against Keon than most people have.
That's a good point.
But I still think Keon, the way he played the other night, if he can do that again, all right, game on.
If he can do the Neo thing?
Yeah. The
that was nuts, dude.
I put that video out.
Mike Brown
out
was
yesterday.
So happy. Mike Brown was so happy to win that game. He was so elated in his post game.
Yeah.
He was fired up. That was great. I enjoyed it. What's number two for you?
Play the other guy straight up. Like, don't leave Herb Jones. Don't leave Trey Murphy. You can leave Dyson Daniels to go help off off McCollum, but the rest of this, like, have Sabonis push Valanciunas out. This can be a man-on-man like defense, and I think you're switchable with these guys. I think you can handle most of their offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. Except for CJ, and if Brandon Ingram is Brandon Ingram, but again, I don't believe he will be.
Yeah, man. I don't have any reason to believe that he's going to pop off for 30 plus tonight. He's talented enough to do it, but just when you look at the history of Brandon Ingram, particularly the last couple nights, it doesn't look like that's in the cards. Number two for me is Keegan Murray. They got to get him going early. They have to put him in a spot like they did against Golden State, where they are. He said the first play was set for him. Run that again. Do it until they stop it. Give him the confidence and the runway. And I know they tell him all the time, but I don't think telling Keegan, "Hey, go shoot it," is enough. I think they need to give him that runway to not only be really good in the first quarter, but to be really good in the third quarter and really good in the fourth quarter. I think he only took two shots in the second quarter, but to be excellent down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will do that as long as they give him that runway early in the game.
I'd even add this to your point there.
Mm-hmm.
Make them move Herb Jones over to Keegan.
Yes.
If you can do that, then Fox gets loose.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't do that, if Keegan is timid, if he's not on top of things, then it allows them to use their best defender, which is Herb, over on your best offensive weapon, which just makes life more difficult.
10 first half shots for Keegan is what I need.
Yeah.
If he has a first half where he shoots it 4, 5, 6 times, I don't think you're going to see him in the game with 20 shots, which is where I would like him to be. Number three for you.
Hit your threes.
It's a big one.
Like, look, this team, when they hit their threes, they're just unstoppable. Like, and again, this is a team that's long. They're athletic. Don't make it all about, like, getting to the basket. Like, the spray three, yes. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you start hitting your threes, if you cook from three, if Keon Ellis cooks, if Davion Mitchell cooks, if Trey Lyles cooks, if De'Aaron Fox comes out popping and hitting his three-point shot, they're really tough to... And, you know, for that matter, like, Harrison Barnes, man, step up and hit your threes. Like, be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this team can be really, really tough to defend.
Along with that, just a side note, this isn't Mikey, but take the threes.
Take them.
If it's open, if it's there, don't start swinging an extra pass. Don't start... Dude, if you're open, bombs away, man. Number three for me is in an MVP performance from De'Aaron. This cannot be a passive De'Aaron game where he has 18 points and, oh, hey, he had 7 assists and 8 rebounds. Like, no, man. I need him to pick his spots like he did against Golden State. He wasn't top to bottom 48 minutes electric offensively, but he picked his spots. I think third quarter he had 14 points.
Yeah, something like that.
Helped after Golden State chipped away at that lead and got it down to 1, helped extend that lead back out, picked his spots. I thought that was a MVP caliber performance from De'Aaron on Tuesday, and I think you need another one tonight.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
He's got to be the best player on the court.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the offense that they played against him last week.
Yeah.
54.8% from the field, 42.1%. That's what the Kings shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you take Zion out of their offense, I don't think that they're going to be that. They're not going to match that.
I kind of think they're winning. I'm trying to say it quiet, but I kind of think they're winning.
Okay.
Have I convinced you? Have I talked you into it?
It's a coin flip, man.
Have I talked you into getting off the fence?
No. It's a coin flip. Straight up.
What if I've told you I've bet a large sum of money on the Pelicans?
I'd call you Jaunte.
I have not done that. All right. We got to get out of here. Hope to see everybody out at Sky River Casino inside. It's going to be at 32 Brewer Street inside Sky River Casino. D'Lo and Casey out there for a live show from noon to 4. Hope to see everybody hanging out there. Going to be the best place to get ready for this Kings-Pelicans game. You're not going to want to miss it. Hope to see you there. Sky River Casino on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We've been the Insiders. For James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.